It's time for Extra Sauce with Greg Hill and Courtney Fallon. Now, here's Greg and Courtney.
What's going on, Courtney?
What's up? How you doing?
We got a pretty good show today.
We have a really, really good show today.
You talked to Scal this week because Brian Scalabrine has a sauce that he's selling.
He's selling a pasta sauce that's called Mamba Sauce. Big Scal's Mamba Sauce. And to be honest, I think that the PR and the media that he's doing, I got one of these dope, literally like almost like a looking like an NBA brand style jersey that he's giving out, just giving out to people.
That's
doing
cool.
Meet and greets. And we had a really good time, not only just talking sauce. But we also had a good time talking about the Celtics because obviously he is the play-by-play guy. So in between, you know, being, a chef of a phony Italian restaurant with this, you know, big Scal sauce. He's also, you know, a big part of the Celtics. And Greg, you pulled in a big fish today.
Yeah,
speaking of the Celtics.
Yeah, we're gonna, as long as this is like a Celtics themed show.
I guess so. It just kind of the stars aligned.
We're going to have Celtics owner Wick Grosbeck on. So Wick and some of his basketball friends have created a really, really good tequila.
His important basketball friends.
Yes, truly,
like uniting the pillars of the NBA.
Well, he's got one of the greats that is a part of his business
team. But also
team.
A female great
yes,
as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We won't give it away. But since this is a tequila Mexican food episode,
yeah,
we got to just play a game. Because we haven't really like played any gimmicky games yet.
All right,
we're going to do Marry, Kiss, Kill, Salsa, Guacamole, Queso. Go.
Oh, that's almost impossible. It's probably obvious that I'm going to start with the F in the MFK.
Yeah.
It would be the queso. I mean, for me, it would be the queso.
You would bleep the queso.
Yeah,
you would screw it.
Yes. Yeah. And then I think I would probably marry the guac. I think, and by the way, guac has to be done tableside. Like, I love when guac is done tableside.
Do you like when they mince this to the jalapenos, and do you do cilantro?
I don't like things that are too spicy.
I wish you could see his dinosaur hands. He's like, this makes me so mad.
That's why I'm going to have to kill the salsa, because I'm probably going to get heartburn
after the
salsa.
Man.
What about you?
Okay, I will marry the salsa. Because
I will marry the salsa.
My dad at our restaurant that I've talked about a number of different times has made some of the best chunky authentic salsa with like the chopped peppers and the onions. I mean, this recipe literally hasn't changed in the last four decades. It is so good and it's so hearty, and salsa is kind of like one of those transcendental foods. I guess that's a word.
What do you mean? Like it cuts through?
Well, I mean, like you could put salsa with your omelet in the morning.
You could
put salsa with chips. You could put salsa in a dip as a base. Yeah. You could put it on top of a fish. It's kind of like, I mean, if you had like a nice piece of swordfish, you could put, you know, so salsa is kind of one of those things that you could put on
it's
everything.
It's versatile.
It's very versatile. And I personally, to me, I love it. I'm going to have to marry or kiss the queso because it's kind of like the kiss of death. You can't have too much cheese in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you got queso, by the way, don't buy that store-bought crap. You got to have something with like a little kick. Like, it's got to be like a little spicy, a little good. You got to heat it up and you got to soak the chips in the queso to really soak everything in. And
how can you kill guacamole?
I'm going to kill guacamole. I think guacamole is overplayed. Listen, I know with guac is extra. They're always putting extra tariffs on avocados. The avocado market goes up. It goes down. And to be honest, if you make tableside guac, you got to eat it in the next 15 minutes, Greg, or else it's going to turn brown.
It's not a worry.
I know you lick your plate clean.
I do, absolutely.
Yeah.
I get through it, no problem. What do you think the best salsa that you can get in the jar is? Like, do you like Newman's? I like the Newman's Own, the pineapple.
I think Newman's is pretty legit, but I will tell you some of the best tequila spots and taco spots in the city, not sponsored. Lolita Cochina Tequila. It's, you know, it's a restaurant spot. It's a little dark. It's right off of Newbury Street, Comm Ave, that area. I mean, when I tell you that that's just always been kind of a premier spot for the last like 5-6 years, to have a nightlife spot like that with legitimate tequila, a good tequila selection, and good food, it's kind of rare in this city. I would say that that's one of my favorite spots for Tex-Mex.
What's your favorite tequila drink? If you're gonna make a cocktail.
Okay, so my this is kind of like Courtney's skinny margarita. My tequila drink, trademarked, and I know that you've probably seen me slug down a couple of these, is a Don Julio Blanco tequila, which is kind of, it just has the least amount of sugar possible, fresh lime juice, maybe a splash of agave, shaken up, you know, so it gets real icy, in a martini glass so you don't suck it down too fast.
So no sour mix.
I mean, if you want to wake up, the reason people have hangovers because of tequila is you wake up because you drink terrible margarita mix.
I'm kind of a fan of the tequila sunrise, and not just because I like the Eagles.
Juice, right?
It's got to be real fresh squeezed orange juice.
I haven't had a tequila sunrise in a minute.
Would
you go for a boozy brunch with a tequila sunrise?
I really like the brunch at Abe and Louie's. I love the brunch at Abe and Louie's because I like Clam's Casinos. Coming up, Courtney talks to Brian Scalabrine about his sauce.
What's your favorite sauce, man? Everyone's favorite question. They can't get enough.
And then Whit Grossbeck will join us and talk tequila here on Extra Sauce.
You are listening to Extra Sauce with Greg Hill and Courtney Fallon on WEEI.
And we're back on Extra Sauce. Courtney Fallon taking the mic here because Greg is on a remote for an amazing cause for cancer in Quincy. And he didn't remember that we had Brian Scalabrine in studio. And of course, you know, he can't drop everything to have Scal and Scal's Mamba Sauce Extra Sauce.
Yeah, I respect that. Yeah. I respect that. And by the way, it will be a better interview if it's just me and you anyways.
Exactly. I feel like I should, I was driving in today and I'm like, Brian Scalabrine. I feel like, you know, with the sauce, there should be like an old, you know, an Italian guy on the streets of Hanover Street. They're like, Brian Scalabrine for Mamba Sauce. I feel like there should be like an old school jingle to introduce this amazing Scal's Big Red Sauce. Makes every dish a winner. How do you want your sauce to be introduced is the biggest question.
Well, I'll tell you. Well, why don't we just say the origin of this,
okay,
right?
Yeah,
I'm at
yeah.
my agent's house. And
which we have the same agent, by the way.
Yes,
shout out to Debbie.
It was the agent family.
Oh, agent
the
WMG, family.
The WMG family. I wasn't at Debbie's house, but I was at my agent's house. And so I was like tired of going out. I had my kids. He had his kids there. I'm like, I'm not going out. I'm going to the store. I'm buying ingredients. We had meatballs and spaghetti me and my wife, and we've been making sauce forever. Like, we don't hardly ever buy jarred sauce. So we went over there, we made it. He was like, oh man, this is delicious. And my agent's one of these guys that needs his head's always turning, wheels are turning, and he's like, Scal, we can make this happen. And I'm like, whatever, you know. He's like, no, seriously, we can make this happen. We can get this on the shelves in Boston.
And I'm like, get the merch out. You got to start printing shirts, man. Now you're a sauce man.
Yeah, he was like, he's all in. And I'm just like, and one thing about me and this business, whether it's basketball or anything, I try everything. I'm down for whatever. I want to see what it's like. I want to learn about the food industry. I want to learn how does it go from production to bottling to stores. Who's involved in all that? So it's been a great learning experience for me to learn all that stuff. But I'm never going to say no. I'm going to be like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And it's been great. I've been doing samples. I've at stores signing autographs, and people have liked it. It's not too sweet. It's not. It won't taste processed at all.
Yeah. Is it? How has that process been for you to kind of turn your broadcaster, former Celtic, NBA player, switch off and turn on, you know, your restaurant guy?
I never stopped doing the other stuff.
It's more of, you must really enjoy kind of the other side of things. Like going to the Whole Foods, which, by the way, just tell the people where you can buy your Red Mamba sauce.
Yeah, so right now, not Whole Foods yet, but Roach Brothers.
Roach Brothers.
Donnelly's, Crosby's,
you got a Wegmans.
We're working on it.
Working on Wegmans.
So you learn, like, you just think, oh, it's going to be everywhere. Then you learn how all this stuff works, and you learn the deals, and you learn how, like, what distributors you're with. So I'm learning a lot, but my goal is to get it to all the stores in all the New England area.
A couple things. First and foremost, you handed me a couple, two bottles of the Scal's Big Red Sauce. It's the label says to Marcus from Brian Scalabrine. Did you intend to bring this to someone famous?
No.
Mark is smart. I'm just the first thing that I was just like, Marcus. Okay. So this was intended to go to someone extra famous. And you were in Cleveland last night. And you just swiped it off the shelves and
you,
were like,
you want me to say it. That or you want me to tell you the real story?
Yeah, let's tell the real story.
There's
a Marcus on our show that I don't know about.
I was at a store.
Yeah.
And the lady, and I'm like, she's like, can you make it out to Mark? And I thought she said Marcus. So I made it out to Marcus and I gave it to her and I'm moving on to the next one. She came back and said, I needed it to be made out to Mark. So to Mark from Brian Scalabrine. So I just said, okay. I took it. So you're getting like what we call the rejects. The bottles are great. It's just my autograph.
Yeah, yeah. So this was discounted. This is like in Billy and Big Daddy. Broken cans are half price. And then he makes it like the kids like smash the cans in the store.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
So this was some, one smeared. And I wasn't going to. I want people.
No, listen. Listen.
You're in a store. You're giving people an autographed pasta sauce. You want to make sure it's right.
I mean, the jersey itself. And for people, I'm going to post this on my Instagram. I'm really going to like crop it down, make it girl size. Greg's not going to see the other jersey here, but this must be really fun to kind of create all the merchandise behind.
Yeah. So we took the jersey. Obviously, you can't use NBA jerseys,
yeah, you
right?
Can't. But
so
you just make you replicated your own. It, right?
Yeah, I just made my own.
Yeah.
I have my own White Mamba team. So you're part of the White Mamba team. You're the first draft pick. We're the first pick in the White Mamba draft. You're pick number one.
Okay, well, all right, let's talk about that. So, I mean, I one of the fun things that I like to do is compare food and sports. That's kind of what we like to do on this WEI Extra Sauce show. So, if you were to kind of give, if we were to throw some spice into, the White Mamba sauce. So you're cooking dinner for a bunch of people in the house, and you got it spread out, and like everyone's got their different flavors. So it's going to be from like very little spicy to super spicy.
Sure.
Can we describe the Celtics players in this Celtics team, this 2020 Celtics team? So I'm going to give you a name, and I want you to like kind of describe their sauce.
Sure.
Brad Wanamaker.
Oh, Brad Wanamaker. The guy's like built like a wall, so he likes his sauce strong.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it watered down. He's one of these guys that needs extra flavor because he's have you ever shake Brad Wanamaker's hand? It's like hitting like iron or steel or something like that.
Okay,
so Brad Wanamaker, extra strong sauce.
So you would put him with like a really thick, hefty meatball.
Yeah.
You would, yeah. That's,
no doubt.
That would, yeah.
No doubt. I'd probably even add in some like some big stewed tomatoes.
Okay.
It's like, it's going to be, it's all strong. It's all extra.
All right. Semi Ogilvy.
Oh my gosh. Ogilvy is going to have to,
he's going to have something light because, he's a very religious man, too.
Is he vegan?
I don't know.
How you can build a body like that being vegan, even though some people tell me you can. So I would say for Ogilvy, this sauce goes over just a skinless roasted chicken. So, because he's not eating any skin with that 5% or 4% body fat. So, skinless roasted chicken.
Brad
sauce on top.
Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens. How would Brad? I'm going to let you guys know that my relationship with Brad is so different than the rest of the people.
Of course. I mean,
he's always jabbing me. Like, if the media asks him questions, it could be the worst question in the world, and he'll answer it. And I'll ask some insightful question, and he'll just give me a two-word answer and make fun of me. So, like, he has such a different sense of humor to me. So, I would give, with Brad Stevens, what's a dish that you think is, like, plain, but it's actually extra?
Maybe a chicken marsala.
There we go.
It's like, you just
no,
think it's
no
like little,
sauce
yeah,
that.
There's chicken, we'll just add the pasta sauce on top.
Sure.
Who's got the spicy sauce, like the Fra Diavolo of Scal sauce?
Ooh.
I'm gonna have to say, is it Jason Tatum or is it Danny Ainge on the hot seat on the trade deadline?
He's never on the hot seat. He loves that stuff. How about the spicy sauce goes
who gets the Scal spicy sauce?
That goes to That goes to Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
Two-way player, attacks the basket, ferocious. So we'll go with spicy sauce to Jaylen Brown.
What are your impressions of this team and their chances of competing against the Western Conference eventually? I mean, that's essentially the goal.
I think the hardest thing to look at with this team is what are they like when they're healthy? And that's, we haven't had a huge sample size of that. I think just 10 games all season where the top eight are healthy. So I'm interested in seeing what they look like. I do believe that you can't beat the Milwaukee Bucks, Toronto Raptors, if you have to open up on the road, if you don't have somewhat of a healthy team. And with the ascension of Jason Tatum, I do believe that we can go to the finals. I do believe that we have a chance to win it all. The question is just going to be, how good are our Tyus Cantor and Rob Williams and Grant Williams? Are they good enough to stop Giannis or Lopez or Serge Ibaka, Marcus Gasol? Like, are our bigs good enough to win a championship? I would say if it was 2 years ago, I'd say no, because the NBA has really changed. It's more guard-driven league. I like the way that these bigs play. I like the way that they fly around the floor. I think that's important. So I'm right now, because of how good Tatum is, and I feel Brown always plays well in the playoffs. He makes shots. He's a two-way player. Kemba, I think, is going to be really good.
Yep.
I do think we have a chance, despite of us not having like this massive front line or rim protection, which you typically in the past have needed.
What have you seen lately from Gordon Hayward? That I know he's gotten a lot of criticism about not being the big that Boston needs, being on the trade block. Is that in consideration anymore?
I think people overreact. I have a radio show as well, or a podcast. It's on radio.com. And you have to sensationalize something, right? If you're here in the Boston market and you're only talking about the Celtics, you can't just talk about how good everybody is playing. You have to also talk about other guys, right? And I don't think, from my opinion, I don't think there's another guy out there that can replace what Gordon Hayward does for us. He's a good playmaker. When things are going sideways, he rights the ship. I think for us, Gordon is valued at whatever he makes. What does it matter for the Celtics if they're over the cap, under the cap? We don't need to add any more players to this team. We have enough.
Yeah.
We're not going to have cap space moving forward. So his $29 million doesn't do anything. It doesn't hurt the Celtics. What happens is he provides ball movement. He drives. He finishes strong. If he's being guarded by the third worst defender on the team, then all of a sudden he has a big-time matchup. So I think at times in the beginning of the year, Gordon was carrying this team. There were considerations for him being an all-star. He breaks his hand. Now Tatum and Brown have stepped up. Kemba at times have stepped up. But I think this team is built so uniquely because we have four guys who have, well, we have really have five, because Marcus Smart had over 30 as well. We have five guys who have scored over 30. What does that look like in the playoffs, and where do you put your attention to? So I'm not worried about us offensively. I know we're going to score enough offensively. I'm just worried, are we going to get enough 50-50 balls at the rim? And Gordon Hayward, to me, is an asset, not a liability, like a lot of people want to label him because of the money he makes.
What is the Achilles heel for this team going forward?
Bigs.
Do you think bigs?
Just bigs.
Yeah.
And I'm just being honest. I just don't know if they are good enough or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
At times I'm thinking yes. Other times I'm like,
well,
no.
Are there certain games that you've seen them match up that you're like, oh, well, I like that. That's a good sign.
You know what? It's not necessarily what you would think. Like, they've done really well. They did have that one game where Joel Embiid just absolutely destroyed them.
Yeah.
But they've done really well against other bigs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the issue. The issue is when a guy drives to the basket, Can you stop a guy from getting a layup? And that's what bigs do.
Yeah.
And I think late in the last 4 minutes of the Laker game was kind of a telling sign of, like, I'd be concerned about the way that we finished the last 4 minutes of that game. Just giving up offensive rebounds, not getting stops when we needed to.
Yeah.
We want to go back to the 51-point game. Yeah, the 51-point game, a lot of people will point to the perimeter defense, and I will too. But there was no restriction at the rim. You have to deter guys from driving, and we didn't do that. And
defensively against Caris LeVert.
Yeah, our last four games. You got Donovan Mitchell, 37, Russell Westbrook, 41, Caris LeVert, 51, and Colin Sexton, 41. So guards are, and I don't care if they're making jump shots, these guys are attacking the paint and living in the paint.
Yeah.
That has to change. But that is my concern moving forward.
So let's talk about Wick Grossback. He was also joining us on the show right after you. You got the floor before Wick. Have you had have you had his tequilas with the feedback on it?
So
what is the feedback?
So I don't like the oaky tequila, right? I like
So you don't like the aged. You don't like the añejo, the extra añejo.
No, I just like it smooth. So
well, yeah, I mean because there's a lot different. There's a lot more sugar content.
Is there?
That's well naturally natural sugars. You know, when it's aged 5-6 years in oak barrels, it's you know you that's what you get the sweet out of it. So you know that's
here's how I judge alcohol. Let me tell you how I judge alcohol. How do I feel during my drunk? Is it good or bad? Right? It's just a yes.
But like you know, but that depends on what you eat too.
No, I'm pretty good about
But like I'm telling you, there are some times where you can go out and you can have a quick 2-3 drinks, and then if you don't eat anything, then you're just feeling drunk and like bleh. And even if you eat something, then you can't catch up. That's what I'm saying. You have to like eat gradually. So you have to like eat a nice pasta meal with the mamba sauce. Yeah. Gotcha.
All right. And the other one is how I feel the next day. I will say this. We did a thing in L.A. It was Celtics-Lakers rivalry, and they were serving the tequila. I had tequila and coffee. It was actually really good.
Yeah.
I felt fine during that day. I watched the Laker game, Lakers-Celtics, and felt fine at night and felt fine the next day. So I give you a thumbs up for that. And I do think, so what would you call the clear one? The Blanco?
It's Blanco. It goes from Blanco, Reposado, which is aged 1 to 3 years, and then Añejo is 3 to 5, and then extra Añejo is 5+.
So the Blanco is smooth.
Blanco is smooth. Yeah, clean. That's like what you take shots at the bar. So you're like you're a shots at the bar kind of guy.
Yeah. You know, I was in Italy one time. I took my teammates out, and I was so surprised at the price of alcohol. So I ordered shots for all my teammates first, right? So I got out, like I got these euros out, and
you were just raining euros. You wanted to make a rain.
No,
spread
I didn't.
It out
no,
on
no,
your
you
hands,
know, I'm not. I'm super frugal. So,
okay.
So the shots came in. I had 7 of my teammates, so we had 8 shots, right?
Okay.
And then,
anyone in particular and then that stuck out? Who was it? Was it like, was it Paul, KG?
No, this is when I played in Italy.
Oh, when you played in Italy.
I played in Italy during the lockout.
I thought you were going to whip out some sort of like, this is what happened when I brought Paul Pierce to Italy.
No, okay. You're like extending a story that should have been over by now. It was 8 shots. The person looked at me and said 16. And I'm like, damn it, 16? So I'm thinking 16 times 8, you know, like $16 a shot. No, it was 16. It was $2 a shot.
$2 total.
So I said, run it back again. So it was like, it was great. We all had shots. They were $2 a pop, and it was all tequila. The only thing is when I drink tequila, for whatever reason, I start to sweat profusely. I don't know.
No, maybe that's just how you're wired. It's the Irish blood.
Could be.
I have that. You know, it's like I have the Irish blood too. We're Irish brethren.
Well, I'm 17% Italian and 16%. Irish. That's why we got in the pasta business.
Okay. So that's because meat and potatoes, it got nixed because of the 1% higher
1%.
On the Italian hot sauce.
1% is a big deal.
Scal's Big Red Sauce makes every dish a winner. If you are lucky, maybe I will gift you Scal's Big Red Sauce with the label to Marcus. Love Scal.
If someone out there is named Marcus,
if someone out there is named Marcus, just tweet at me and I'll throw this one your way. Just kidding. I'm going to make a big red pasta dish. What do you say? Meatballs?
Meatballs is my thing.
All right. I mean, on this show, we've only had every single restaurant on Hanover Street, and they talk about profusely how to make the best meatballs, the breadcrumbs, soaking in milk, and all that stuff. Scal's Big Red Sauce, Brian Scalabrine, it is a pleasure to have you on Extra Sauce. Where can we find this sauce?
Broach Brothers, Donley's, Crosby's. And we're working into getting it to New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont.
Okay, well, if there's anything that we can do here on Extra Sauce, shoot that out.
No, just wear this shirt.
Just wear the shirt.
And you, like you said, what are you going
to
do to it?
I'm going to crop. Well, I'm taking this to the tailor. This is just like it's just the sickest jersey ever.
Yeah. So
it's a white jersey, and it's just going to be, I'm going to do like pumps and heels and jeans. I'm gonna make this jersey look sexy.
That's all I need you to do.
It's gonna be the Fra Diablo of jerseys.
That's all I need you to do. I'm good.
Brian Scalabrine on Extra Sauce. We'll be right back with Wick Grossback and his new tequila after this.
Now back to Extra Sauce with Greg Hill and Courtney Fallon on WEEI.
With us right now on Extra Sauce, it's Wick Grosbeck. I was going to say owner of the Boston Celtics, but I will say tequila maker. Is that what you are?
It's a phenomenal thing. It's being part of Sincoro is so much fun. Just like the Celtics in a way.
Yeah, this is really cool. So Wick and four others have created a tequila, Sincoro, and it's a group of people that some of us might know.
We have a great group. It came out of the NBA Labor Committee. We were all hanging out negotiating a new deal with the players.
And you needed to drink?
Hours and hours and hours, and you had to, I guess, unwind afterwards, so... At my wife Amelia's suggestion, five of us got together for dinner. And it was Amelia and me and Jeannie Buss from the Lakers.
Yeah.
Who's a longtime friend of mine, although we're rivals on the court, obviously. Yeah. She is amazing.
Well, she's at games from time to time.
Yeah, we were just out with her at the Lakers-Celtics game the other day in L.A. But Jeannie was there and so met Amelia for the first time. Wes Edens, my buddy who owns the Bucks, you know, we can't stand the Bucks, but we love Wes Edens, you know, and, you know, the man behind the Bucks and is a great guy. And then we had Michael Jordan, who's, you know, the greatest ever of any category. He's an amazing person, brilliant, thoughtful, team oriented, you know, the best. But he is really amazing. And that group of five, we just went out and it all got glued together in about 20 minutes of talking. And Michael was pouring tequila. And it was the highest end $1,500 a bottle tequila that he likes. And by 3 in the morning, we had a tequila company.
Yeah.
basically would save money, you know, make your own and make it for ourselves, kind of. And that grew over 3 years of making tequilas in the town of Tequila, Mexico, in Jalisco State, way down in Mexico. The agave is grown there. It is made in tequila by the most award-winning distillery in Mexico, who has partnered with us on it. And here we are. We've won 12 gold medals.
12 gold medals?
This isn't just sort of MJ's tequila.
Right.
We love Michael. Like everybody loves Michael.
It's not like, hey, a group of celebrities, you know, get together and say, hey, let's make a brand. And this is legitimate, great tequila.
Well, thank you. So anyway, I've been going on and on, but I'm very proud of it. And my wife runs the show. She's the daily CEO. All of us co-own it. And we are really excited to share it with people. And we appreciate everybody's loving it and feedback on it. It's been absolutely blown us away the way it's been received.
How does that process go when you guys set out, you get a pretty good ownership group and you say, all right, this is what we're going to do. How do you, do you then go to Mexico? Do you end up sourcing? Yeah. Like, how does that work?
Well, it's a great question. You know, I back entrepreneurs for a living. So I see this, you know, or part of my life, and I've done that for 30 years. So the idea is crucial, and just to have an amazing killer idea, make a delicious set of tequilas. We actually have four expressions. Make a delicious tequila. That's the idea, you know, one that nobody's ever really tasted before. But then you have to have the entrepreneur who actually is going to go and do it, and the group that is going to be behind it. And you need the passion to go beyond that first meeting. And now it's extended, you know, 3 years and counting. So it's idea, and then it's actually getting it done, and then it's supporting it and having people just love it.
So Wick, as you're pouring out this glorious añejo bottle that you're having us try here, can you just obviously explain to some of the people the differences between just the blancos and the añejos? Is there anything specific that you do to your cask? Is it wood inspired? Is it does it have a different flavor, and how it's aged?
Here's how we make Sincoro differently. And it's in partnership with NAM 1438 Distillery de la Valle down there, the most awarded distillery in Mexico. And they're amazing people, the Maestri family. So we have partnered with them. We take a Highland distillate. So we take Highland agave and distill it.
Yeah.
And then we take Lowland agave and we still distill it. We do not mix them until they've already been distilled. So two different distillates that are blended by the master distiller. We have an underground cava for aging. We are aged in used American bourbon barrels like tequilas typically, but we use a particular high-end, we can't disclose, but a particular high-end bourbon.
Right, we have to sign an NDA.
Just imagine it as you sip it.
Yeah.
This has the product we made, Amelia and the group, taste, and Amelia and Michael are the two primary tasters, tasted over 800 different tequilas to get to our four. We have four expressions. Blanco, right out of the barrel.
Was that
right
in one?
Out the, right that, out of the still, excuse yep. me.
Was that in one night? Because I would have liked to have been a part of that.
Exactly. We have tasted, you know, 20 at a time. You know, and Michael does and not use the spit bucket.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say. Yeah. Like, Greg definitely would not use the spit bucket.
You know, by the way, the passion that Michael has for life and for winning and for doing things right is shared by Jeannie Buss of the Lakers, one of our partners, Wes Edens of the Bucks, and by the two of us involved with the Celtics. And we care about trying to do things right. We're not the only ones to do, but we really do care. This was to make the best tequila we've ever tasted and then see if other people liked it. And so it's working.
Let's try it.
This is the Añejo. This is aged about 28 months underground in a cavern in the town of Tequila, Mexico.
Yeah. It smells, there's notes of like honey. And I can really taste
it's a very mellow sipping tequila. This doesn't have the aftershock of the agave burn. This does not have Cuervo off someone's belly button.
No. Yeah. No. This is wow.
Yeah, very smooth.
Right?
Yeah.
Nice stuff.
There's some really cool things about the bottle that you can look for.
Well, I'm
right?
glad you like the bottle. It was designed personally by Michael and his lead designer from Nike, Mark Smith. And then they presented the design to Amelia, who then went to Mexico City, where they make all the tequila bottles in this huge factory down there, and where they make Patron and Clase Azul and others. Yeah. And they're like, we need this bottle. And they're like, we've never seen anything like it. But anyway, hopefully the listeners can go Google Cincoro, C-I-N-C-O-R-O, see a picture of the bottle, or you've seen it out and about. It's got five sides for the five partners. Cinco and Oro, five gold, the five-star gold standard, hopefully, in tequila. That was what we were going for. And also five founders. A couple of the angles on this bottle are 23 degrees. That was MJ's jersey.
That's pretty cool.
That's
the top angle is 23. The bottom, there's a thing called a P-U-N-T, punt, which is the indent in the bottom. And with our agave, you know, but that's a 23-degree angle. So we're just having a little fun. It's like when you have Air Jordans and you look, they always do a little something in there, like they call it an Easter egg or a goodie
or
whatever it is. So we got a few that we haven't told you about, that we haven't told anybody about. But the bottle, what's most important is what's inside the bottle. But the bottle adds to, I think, the presentation.
When it comes to the tequila category, I feel like it's really grown. And as far as consumers go, is that like because of the health and wellness thing?
Well, I think that they may say that it's
why.
Health and wellness. Yeah. But it's a drink that is an upper. It really gives you energy as opposed to red wine.
Yeah.
It is the fastest growing category of all spirits, tequila. And the high end, where we are, is the fastest growing category with that. So it's a nice place to be. But it's a fun drink. It's a social drink. And when you have sipping tequila, you're not doing shot after shot. You're sipping it. This bottle is, you know, $130, this Añejo. So you're going to enjoy this with friends and savor it.
I'm sure as an investor, you look at when it comes to building a brand and then growing it, predominant theory is that distribution is the biggest part of that. I'm curious from a business point of view, how difficult is that to get and how are you guys doing with that?
We have found you can't just go get distribution. You have to have them taste it and want to displace another tequila to take you on. And so building a distribution network as a startup is the hard part. Lots of, used to be called yuppies, lots of people are making bourbons and vodkas and gins now, and then they'll find that they can't get distribution. So they have to try to sell it out of the trunk of their car or something. But we have gotten distribution. We've done it based on blind taste tests, not telling them anything about who's behind it or our marketing plan. We want to make sure that they believe in the liquid and love the liquid, and that's how we selected our distributors.
So let me ask you, what would you like to win most next? Another gold medal or another NBA title?
Do I have to choose? Because I'm going for both.
Listen, this is a pretty good team. I say, you got a pretty good team right now.
Well, the Celtics are, I mean, we are loving these guys because we had on the court last night against Cleveland, nobody was over 22. Jason Tatum, I guess he had just turned 22.
Night. Tatum is unbelievable.
And everybody else was younger.
Yeah.
You know, and so the future, I think, you don't want to always talk about future and everybody hang in there, but we all know, everybody that watches basketball and the fans in Boston know that we've got upside with these guys. Jalen and Jason have come into their own. We've added Kemba, who is just breath of fresh air in terms of just incredible all-star starter, but with, you know, world-class personality and leadership.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's been fun to watch. We've had a few ups and downs. I think we are a good team. I don't think we're a legendary, you know, one of the greatest of all time. I know we aren't. But we're going to fight hard, and it's a lot of fun watching. Thank
you. Did you happen to see Uncut Gems and see Kevin Garnett's performance? It was pretty good.
With Kevin Garnett.
You saw it with Kevin Garnett.
This is my
premiere,
life now. I'm literally the luckiest guy in the world. But they had a premiere in Boston, and there's KG and Adam, and we got to watch the thing together. And it was after that I made the deal with Kevin. I said, look, it's time. We want to retire the jersey, and so we shook hands on it that night.
Yeah, which is going to be good. That's next
really
season,
sad.
Right?
Next season, when the schedule comes out, we'll find out which national game on a Sunday. Hopefully the NBA will slot us in with, hey, maybe the Timberwolves.
I really would love to know what like a production meeting or just a meeting of the minds of in a room like that with Jeannie Buss and Michael Jordan, and how important is it to be a part of basketball folklore? It's really just it's like the three lords of the NBA. It's the Bulls of the 90s and Jeannie Buss and everything.
Celtics and Lakers.
And what is that like to...
Wait till my Bucks partner hears this.
Oh, yeah, my Bucks. Yeah. Listen, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, he's
well pronounced.
He's a man child. Like, he's great.
What are those meetings?
I think he's just a man.
Drawing it back to sports, it represents... Mm-hmm. It draws back to...
Trying to do things right.
Yeah.
Trying to be a championship driven in a way. I think that's probably all right. The production meetings are really substantive. These are very, very smart people. Jeannie Buss took that team over from her father. Her father selected her. She would never say this, but it's my, you know, selected her among the siblings as the one to lead forward as controlling owner. And she has earned that. I've known her 15, 16, 17 years now. And she is, you know, an amazing leader, CEO, entrepreneur. You know, MJ, his empire, it's reported in the press, you know, that the Jordan brand does, I think it's $4 billion of shoes a year. I mean, it's just outrageous.
It's amazing.
He's one of the most successful human beings on the planet, and with good reason, as I said. And then Wes is just a titan in, you know, not as well, like me, not as well known, but he's a titan in finance and in success, and he's just a great guy. So we get together, we're friends who have become business partners, and that's where it all starts, is with respect and the ability to say to one another yes or no.
To be able to say no.
And we are very glad that Michael really leads the tasting, because he is a tequila aficionado and has a great palate. And then we all tested our palates. I know that I kind of failed. I wasn't up to the standard of like being a tester.
Listen, it takes time. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of mistakes.
What do you think, for you personally, what do you think pairs best with Cinco? Like, what kind of food? What do you like to eat when you're drinking?
You know what's amazing? With this Añejo, it actually is so mellow, you can put it over ice cream. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
But the way we like to drink it, there's no lime and there's no salt. You put an orange slice in, just a thin slice, but it's not orange peel or anything. You put even a couple drops of orange, fresh orange juice in there, and just sip it neat. The Blanco makes a really nice Paloma, which has grapefruit. It will also make a very nice margarita. I make my margaritas with Reposado. Reposado is a little more like a bourbon, not as quite as mellow as this, a little more character to it in terms of just straightforward, like a bourbon. So the Repo is a delicious drink, and that mixes really well. We make an Old Fashioned with the Repo, which is really interesting. So you have a tequila Old Fashioned.
It's
freaking delicious.
You're using Grand Marnier or Cointreau, and that's, you know, typically the
probably
base
a little agave. What we use in our both our margaritas and our Old Fashioneds, we'll put just a little bit of agave honey, just the agave nectar in there. We don't need any Cointreau.
That sounds great.
And so put a little bit of agave nectar in there, some bitters, and you've got an amazing Old Fashioned with the Repo. You can make an Añejo Old Fashioned as well, but I like the Añejo neat. And then we have our Extra, which is $1,600 a bottle, limited supply.
Aged over 5 years, correct?
It's aged about 4 years.
4 years,
and, you know, if you age much longer, you can if you're in temperature control down there. But it gets so hot in Mexico that the traditional tequilas are never aged more than 4 years.
Honestly, it's great.
No, this
tequila
is fantastic. My family, we've been in the restaurant business for the Mexican food and tequila and spirits for almost about 40 years now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is from a blind taste test. This is truly, I'm not blowing smoke here because this is, you know, our radio show. This is one of the best tequilas, sipping tequilas especially, that I've had in a very, very long time.
Well, people are taking notice. You know, we are coming up on the sales rates of some of the real successful high-end tequilas. We are making waves in the industry. We had one competitor who I will not name, went into the glass manufacturing factory down in Mexico City, which makes 250,000 tequila bottles a day for various people, all the big names, yep. and ours, too. Mm-hmm. They have to make ours pretty much by hand. It's so special. But they came in carrying this bottle, and they said to the people who own the family owns a factory, very good friends of ours now, did you make these bottles? You make them here? And they go, yes, frankly, we did. They're like, but you make, you know, 4 million bottles for us here every day, and now you're making this? And they're like, yeah. And they go, well, now we have to redesign our bottle.
Yeah.
Because this, it's like, we got them worrying about their formulations. We've got them worrying about their bottles. And we just got started selling 4 months ago.
Yeah.
What's so the biggest, challenge for you guys?
Well, production is hard. You've got tequila is a handmade, you know, this is a craft, small batch thing. And then we're getting orders. We've run dry. We've run out in a lot of these states.
Yeah.
So we got to ramp up production. We're building a new distillery that we will own ourselves down there in Mexico. Building something in Mexico is not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or anywhere.
And obviously, for going down to
you know, renovating a house isn't easy. I can barely do any of that. So we're going to ramp up all of that. We're moving out, you know, rolling out to 15 more states, going international. So it's all just, it turns into logistics of getting things, you know, supplied. But people love the stuff. That's where it really starts. If we didn't have that, we would have nothing.
And you can find it in Boston, great restaurants.
Great restaurants, you know, all the Davio's, Rochambeau, all of the big night entertainment venues. Guy Fieri's tequila.
His cantina over there. Yeah.
And then Big Night Live right next door.
Yeah.
And Empire and the Grand.
Well, thanks for doing the show.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
And we've got
a bottle to finish.
Who's taking the big bottle? Huh?
I am. I
should have brought two. Apparently,
yeah,
Courtney.
I'm
sorry.
Don't worry. She'll never stop asking you for a freebie. Don't worry.
No,
I mean, literally,
it's amazing. I'm super. It's a moment of pride to have something. You know, I mean, from the city of Boston. You know, I mean, you are one of the pillars of an amazing future tequila that's going to take over the market. I truly, honestly have no doubt, because I think there's a lot of smoke and mirrors when it comes to these tequila brands, and Patron isn't what it used to be, and Don Julio isn't really what it used to be. And I, you know, you've seen how big Casamigos. I've watched that company explode over the years through the friends who are, you know, distributors for Southern Wine and Spirits and MS Walker locally. I wish the best for you. And you can invite me to some of the big parties along the way.
You're invited. We'll come to a game. We serve this at the Garden, and we serve it in the Putnam Club.
Amazing.
And people are just, anyway, we're having a blast, and we really appreciate being on with you guys.
Listen, I got to ask you, as an owner of a sports franchise in Boston, you look at the Tom Brady situation. How does an owner deal with that from a perspective of this guy? You know, he's like he's Larry Bird. I mean, he's, you know, it's tough, right?
Six rings. I was lucky enough to meet Tom Brady when Drew Bledsoe sent him over to a party I was throwing because I happen to know Drew, and Drew couldn't make it. He's like, well, you got a grad degree from Michigan or whatever. I'm sending our Michigan quarterback over that we just drafted.
So
my buddies and I met Tom right after he got drafted, and he walked in and he stopped the whole party by just his commanding presence. And he said, by the way, I'm just going to put you all on notice right now. I'm going to go on the record. I'm going to be the best draft pick in the history of the New England Patriots. And he had that minute been drafted sixth round, fourth string. Didn't even have a guaranteed contract yet. And he announced, he called a shot. I mean, he didn't say he's going to be the best ever. But he said he'd be the best in the history of the Patriots, which was a pretty good start for a 21-year-old kid or whatever he was. So I love Tom.
Yeah.
As an owner, I just say I have no advice to give those guys because they've won six times and they're very good friends of mine.
Yeah.
So is Tom, I'm very glad to say. But I just say this. The greats, you know, you retire their jerseys and you say, we won together, and we'll never forget that. I did end up trading Pearson Garnett to the Nets.
Yeah.
Well, Danny and I and my partners, you know, we all did it. And that was positive for us. And Pearson Garnett were okay with it, and we actually all thought the Nets were going to be pretty darn good.
Yeah,
and they had another chance, whereas we were going to have to rebuild. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it's heartbreaking.
Is it? Yeah, I was going to say, is it heartbreaking? Is it tough to do?
I don't want to see Tom go as a fan.
Yeah,
but it's between him and Robert and Bill, and I have nothing to say about it.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, because Bill, whose side are you on, really? Because Bill is a frequent visitor of the front side, court side seats with Linda.
He's not picking anybody.
I know, but I'm just saying,
she's a journalist. Greg.
I'm just a journalist.
You can learn something here.
I see it. I know there must be. Bill was there in 08,
the game we won, game six. Bill was there.
Bill's there a lot. He and Linda do courtside at the Celtics a lot.
At halftime, Bill, I go in to the club. And Bill is drinking. We are drinking tequila, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Having a sip, Bill is hilarious. And at halftime, we're up 25, 26 points at halftime or something. And I go, Bill, what do you think? And I think he's going to calm me down because we could win the championship that night and or not if we blow it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if anyone's going to give you the party line at one play at a time, do your job, you know, it's going to be Bill. So I look to him for that. I'm like, Bill, what do you think? And he goes, are you kidding me? You're the bleeping world champions. You can celebrate right now. They folded. I'm like, I just got jinxed by Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
but he bought a round of tequila shots for the entire bar, the entire club, and we all went back out and we beat him by 39. So Bill called the shot.
Bill called the shot.
I love Bill. Anyway, enough of that.
Well, listen, congrats on Sincoro and we'll be drinking it, and thanks for being here on Extra Sauce.
I love it. Love the show.
So we pretty much covered tequila, and we covered sauce and everything Celtics.
No, I think you nailed it. I think we got not only some great food and liquor content, but we also got a lot of Celtics talk.
Well,
and a lot more. It's, you know, listen, this team is coming around the bend.
Ann Wick says that Bill Belichick is a hilarious guy.
I already knew that. We have the same birthday, and I'm funny, and he's funny, and I just love that the story about it. I was like, wait, how can you not have a story or pick a side of Tom Brady versus Bill when he sits courtside like every game?
If you want to see the Sincoro bottle or you want to see anything on social, we got it up at WEEI.com.
WEEI.com, and then also on your Twitter account as well. So Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, all right. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Extra Sauce.
See ya.